Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining for today's class. I guess next week is Purim, so we won't have a class. We'll resume again the week after that. All right. So we're holding over here all the way in the end of Parshas Noach. Last week's class, we learned about the generation of the dispersion, the Deir HaFlaga, from the perspective of Mashiach and Geula. And again, as we mentioned, the idea over here is to see the Indian of Mashiach developing and making progress through the Torah. How it's emerging. So in last week's class, we learned how before Avram Avinu comes to the world and begins the Avodah of facilitating Hashem's will in this world, thereby creating a Dira B'Tachtayinim, and how is Avram going to do that through the usage, through Oisiyos, through the letters of the Torah. It's the letters are what convey Hashem to the world. Oisiyos, the letters of the Torah. Hashem is mislabish. Hashem enclothes himself in the Torah, and then that becomes the words of the Torah. First in the Aleph of Anoichi, and then in the whole word Anoichi, and then in Aseres Adibrois, and then through that into all the entire Torah, as Hashem imbues himself into the world through these holy letters. And that's how we construct Yerushalayim, as we spoke last week. The holy city of Yerushalayim is made up of words, just like a city is made up of stones. And so then, right before this Avodah was to begin, there was an attempt, Chas V'Shalom, on the corruption of words, to take the letters of Lashon HaKodesh, of the Holy Tongue, and to use it to manipulate by making Shemais HaKadoshim, we said, by using holy names and misconstrue them into different combinations that will force, so to speak, a hashpa of Hashem's blessings to the world without compliance. In other words, forcing Hashem to invest himself in the creation without Hashem getting a return and Hashem gaining anything from that. And that was the idea of this whole city that they built and the Migdal that they built, which was supposed to be the antithesis to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem dispersed those people and he divided them, disconnected them from the access that they had to the Holy Tongue. They lost their ability to speak. But we did say last week that in this process of dispersing them, some words of Lashon HaKodesh entered into every language, into every society, and into every people. Absolutely necessary, because if the 70 nations would not have any access to these holy letters, then Hashem created the world through the Torah. A complete separation from the holy tongue would be in Chas V'Shalom, a separation from life, and they couldn't exist. That's not the kavana, that we should eradicate them. The kavana is V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, as we spoke last week. The kavana is that all the nations should come back and speak Lashon HaKodesh, and which means, but they should be in a state of bittul, of zahapach al kol ha'amim. That we learned last week, Hashem is going to convert all the nations safa echos back to one language. And then, but la'avda Shechem Echad, that even the people from the backside, which is the Shechem, the part of the back, the shoulder, the back of the person, that is not the pnimius, the front where you can see the pnimius is revealed. That's the back. So they too should be nis'ala and should be unified into Achdus Hashem. And that's our avoda. Our avoda is to enter into the crust of creation, to the outer layers of the creation, into those that are in a state of acharayim, the backside, and our avodah is to bring the unity even into the most extreme outer places. And by doing that, what we also have to do is, as we learned last week, there is little pieces of Torah that are scattered all over the world into every language and every people, and when we, the Jewish people, enter into that country, we extract those elements of the Torah, bringing it back to Lashon HaKodesh, and completing the Torah from within this work. So in a sense, it's very interesting. This whole, like, in order for the avodah of unifying the creation with Hashem, it required first a breaking down and a separation of things. In other words, our avodah is Yidden and Avram Avinu, beginning with Avram Avinu, continuing out through all the generations. Our avodah is to bring about peace, oneness, union. because all of mankind and all of creation will be unified with their singular essence, which is their creator. And that's how Nitna HaTorah Elala says Shalom Be'olam, to make peace in the world. But first we have to fragment before we can make peace. First there had to be, part of the process was to break things down to the details. Because as long as things were unified and connected to their source, but they were still klipadig, what happened was they would, chas v'shalom adarabi, use the strength from their unity and use their strength from the godliness that they have access to and use that to strengthen the rebellion against Hashem. So therefore we had to first weaken them by fragmenting them, breaking it into the myriads of different pieces, different parts. And now the avoda is that we enter into all the crevices of the world, into all the corners, and into all the cracks, as Bnei Yisrael begin to develop, coming from Avram Avinu. And from there, a light shines throughout the entire world. And we engage, and we confront, and we involve ourselves with every little piece, every shard, so to speak, every little piece, extract its life force by taking that and using that in avodas Hashem as well. And that's how we incorporate all of existence into oneness, achdus Hashem. So till last week's class, we were dealing with the breaking, in a sense, the soiser amanas livnois, the breaking, like the you know, when you break down a house, you have to break down the house before you can build it. If it's a churban, if it's a destruction, and there's mold, and there's all kinds of other stuff that you can't just repair. You have to knock the whole thing down and then reconstruct. So that was what happened by the Dor HaFlaga. Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, it's all part of the destruction for the sake of rebuilding. And the beautiful part is that we are holding right now, the end of Parshas Noach, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, is where Avram Avinu is born, and here is where construction actually begins. The Avoida of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, which as the Rebbe Rishab said, from that moment on, when Hashem told Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, begins the Avoida of Avoidas HaBirurim, the Avoida of doing a Birur, of rectifying all of creation from its disconnected state, unifying and bringing everything to a state of bittul and harmony with its creator. And we continue that Lech Lecha in every day, in all the places we come to, and all the encounters we have in our life, with all the people we meet, and all the objects we meet, all ideas we connect to, everything that we have a shaychus to, as Bnei Yisrael scattered all over the world, as it says this week, like Haman says in the Megillah, Mefuzan Mefoyroit Beina Amim, for the purpose of unifying, Yashnei Am Echad, there is a nation of Echad, of Achtos. And our avodah is that we are mefuzar mefoirot. We get scattered amongst the nations in order to bring about Am Echad, again an achdus, and unify and include the nations also into that unity. So it all begins with Avram being born. So even before we get to next week's parasha Lech Lecha, let's take a look at the psukim describing Avram's birth and see where in these psukim of Avram Avinu being born we see already that here begins a new chapter. Here is where the 2,000 years of Chazal divide the world into 6,000 years. So 2,000 years is considered chaos. That's till Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu begins the 2,000 years of Torah, which Torah is all about tikkun. And finally, 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, in other words, where the Torah's effect on the world is beginning to be noticed. And then finally, you have Mashiach's coming, which is the full revelation and realization of all of this. But by Avram Avinu begins the 2,000 years of Torah, not by Avram's birth. Actually, Avram, I think, was 52 years old at the year 2000. But still, Avram is being born, a new chapter begins. So what does it say over here? It says, B'negei to Avram Avinu, it says, let me just open up over here in the Chumash, it says that Terach gave birth. The Pasuk says that Terach gave birth. Vahi Terach Shivim Shana, Terach was 70 years old. Vayoyled as Avram, as Nachor, as Haran. He gave birth to Avram, to Nachor, and to Haran. And then it says again, Ve'ela told us, Terach Hoyled as Avram, as Nachor, as Haran. And there is an S by each one of them. S, S, S. And now it's interesting. Whenever there is, it says, S by someone, Chazal usually learn out, the S comes to be marbe. It comes to add something. So the question over here, what is the S from Vayoyled, S, what is it coming to be marbe? It says already the children. It could have said, Vayoyled, S Avram, Haran, V'Nachor. What's the emphasis? S Avram, S Nachor, V'S Haran. So Chazal say in other places where it says S, this one, the S, that one, it comes to say that they were born with a twin. So it says by Cain and Hevel, that Cain and Hevel were born with twins. So it also says by the Shvatim that it comes to teach you that they were born with twins, and then they married their twins. But by Avram and Nachar and Haran, you can't say that they were born with twins, because in the end it says they took wives, and it doesn't say that they married their twin wives. And if we're going to say they just had twins, the twin sisters, but they didn't marry them, so why does the Torah have to tell us that there is an S over here, that someone else was born, if they, you know, who cares? Like, there was a sister there, and it has no relevance to the Jewish people and to the Jewish experience and to the purpose of Torah mitzvahs in the world. So the B'nai Yisachar says something very interesting. He says that really this family, Terach, Avram, Nachar, and Haran, they are the seeds of Olam HaTikkun. Okay, here is where Tikkun actually begins. But you know, we're used to thinking it's Avram Avinu. Okay, Avram is the father of Tikkun. He's the father of monotheism, of faith, of Emunah, belief in one Hashem. That's true. Avinu Arisha, and that's our father. But really, there is something to say about the entire family. And Terach's entire family has already some piece of Tikkun already in it. It's not full-fledged Tikkun, of course. It's very far from it, but it's already the process of Tikkun. And he brings in a fascinating thing. We know that the Chet Eitz Hadas, which caused the whole mess up, and he builds it on a Medrash Pliya. There is a Medrash. And the Medrash says, Terach ubanav tiknu chet shel Adam Arishon. That's how Medrash there is. That Terach and his sons were masaking the chet of Adam Arishon. I don't know where this Medrash is. He says, Isa b'pliya. It says a Medrash Pliya. So exactly where the origins of this Medrash, I don't know. But the Medrash has stated that Avram, that Terach and his family were masaking the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Which is, well, what do you mean? Terach and his family, masaking the chet. Do a tikkun on the sin of the tree of knowledge. And the idea, so he brings from a very big makubal, known as Reb Shamshon from Ostropoli. It was a great makubal, I think, about him. I think he was killed during the Chmelnytsky massacres. Al-Kiddush Hashem. Either him or the Magalei Amukos died Al-Kiddush Hashem. I should check it up. Whenever I mention him, I mention this, and I always say I don't know. So hopefully I remember after the class to check it up. In any case, he states like this. He says, the chait of the Eitz Hadas, according to one opinion, what fruit was it? There's various different opinions what kind of fruit it was. But the most direct answer is that it was a fig. Why? Because it says after the chait Eitz Hadas that they covered themselves with leaves from a fig tree. Vayikhu alei te'ena. And they covered themselves with that. And the reason they used that for the covering was because they sinned with that. And that was the only tree that they had axed. All the other trees didn't want that. They should touch it. But the fig, they had to do the tikkun and the very same thing that they blemished with, which was the Eitz Hadas. So from the Chazal learned out that it was a te'ena. And take a look at the amazing thing. Te'ena is Rosh HaTevis. Tav is Terach. Aleph is Avram. Nun is Nachor. And Hey is Haran. So you see that this family, Terach, Nachor, Haran, and Avram, are Mesakein the Te'ena. This is the family of Te'ena. Isn't that amazing? Why is it? Avram, we understand, but what's with the others? And the answer is simple. Haran is the father, the Pasuk says, of Yiska, Avi Yiska. He's the father of Yiska. Who is Yiska? Rashi says Yiska is Sarah. So Sarah is Bas Haran. She's the daughter of Haran. So Avram Taka comes from Terach, but his wife Sarah, who's part of this partner and this tikkun and this purification process, and without her nothing would happen, so she was a daughter of Haran. Nachor is the other brother of Avram, Nachor, is the father of, marries a woman by the name of Milcah, who happens to be Sarah's sister. That's also a daughter of Haran. Okay, so Nachor, the other brother of Avram, marries Milcah, and he has children. And eventually, who are his children? They have and Besuel comes from them. Who Besuel is the father of Rivka. And then Lavan also comes from him, who's the father of Rivka of Rachel and Leah. So the other Imais, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, are all descendants of Nachor. Sarah is a is a daughter of Haran. And Haran is also the grandfather of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, because he is the maternal grandfather of them, because Nachor married Milcah, who's also a daughter of Haran. So we got the Avos and the Imais, and here is one more piece in the puzzle, very important, who's also involved in all of this, is that Haran also married, Haran has another son. He, besides the two daughters, Milcah and Sarai at this point, he has a son whose name is Loit. And Loit is the grandfather of Mashiach. So really the Alma, the world of Tikkun, and the ultimate completion, the one who's going to be Mesakin the whole world, Mashiach Tzidkenu, David HaMelech, Mashiach Tzidkenu, are all descendants. So this is the family of Tikkun. This is the seed. This is the seed from where you're going to have an entire Tikkun. And that's the, and that's why the Pasuk says, Vayulad Es Avram Es Nachor, comes to add. What is that adding? That's the addition of Geula. I mean, there's a strong emphasis that the Haisafa, that's what the Bnei Yisachar adds to this, that this is a, right over here you have the birth of Geula. You have the birth of the powerful forces that are going to transform this world from the Galus to the world to the Geula to the world and be Mesakin the whole world and realize the purpose of creation, like we learned in today's Hayom Yom. That every person has to see himself as being one who was chosen by Hashem to actualize the kavana of why Hashem created the world, and that is to fill the world with Or Torah v'Avodah, with the light of Torah and Avodah. Well, it begins with Avram, but the whole family, Terach, and in the end, Terach does tshuva as well. So there is some kind of a tikkun already with Terach as well. So you have the te'ena, the fixing of the te'ena, being fixed by this family that is gematria te'ena. Okay, what does the Torah tell us after this? Avram marries Sarai. Again, we're still in the end of Parshas Noach. Avram marries Sarai, and after that, it says that Avram leaves the last pasuk over here. The second to the last pasuk. Vayikach Terach as Avram benoy v'sloit ben Haran, and they left Ur Kazdim, the city of Kazdim, and then they come to a place called Haran, and they stay over there. And then it says Terach lived 205 years, and then Terach died in Haran. And we go into Parshas Lech Lecha, which Parshas Lech Lecha tells us, Hashem says, Avram, Lech Lecha, you should leave, that he should leave Haran. He was, that Avram is told to leave Haran and march forward. And at this point, we know that in the Torah, the last word in Parshas Noach is the word Haran, and the Haran has an upside-down nun. Look in the Chumash. I don't know if every Chumash makes it, but there's a Nun Hafucha, Rashi brings it, because what it's saying over here is, the first two chapters of Torah, now we completed the world of Toyu. Rashi says, Ad kan charoin af shal mokoyim. This is to where the anger of Hashem is. Charoin af shal mokoyim, the anger of God is ended and completed over here. And now, the Eibishter is not, this is the anger, I'm sorry, to here is the anger of Hashem. Hashem is not happy with his world. And now begins the tikkun. Here Hashem is falling in love with his creation. Like we also know in the Basi Lagani Maimer that Avram begins bringing the Shekhinah down from, well, where is the point? Haran. We're done with the word Haran means anger. The Nun is coming to make a hefsek, a stop. Till here is the negative world. Now begins a new chapter. Now begins Hischil Leheir, Mi Heir Mimizra, who is beginning to light up from the east. That's Avram Avinu, the new light. Now part of this Avoida of Avram beginning the process of leaving is related to Avram going out from Haran. And here is an amazing idea that is connected to Purim. I want to a little bit connect the next, this class being that this is going to be next week is Purim, to see if we find a connection with what's happening over here in the end of Parshas Noach with the whole story of Purim. And over here, Baruch Hashem, there's Gevaldik, the Eibishter had made, has looking out for us and got us to the right class at the right moment. In Lekutei Levi Yitzchak and the Rebbe's father's Svarim, there is a fascinating connection at the end of Parshas Noach to the whole story of Purim. And the reason for that is the Gemara says in Masechtas Baba Basra that Avram was born, and we know Avram's father is Terach. But who's Avraham's mother? So Avraham's mother, we know her name is Amaslai. That's her name. Now the Gemara tells them, Sechtes Bava Basra, that there was someone else who also had a mother whose name was Amaslai. Interesting, there's two Amaslais in the world. Amaslai, who gave birth to Avram Avinu, and another Amaslai. And believe it or not, the other Amaslai, she was the one who gave birth to Haman. So Haman and Avram share a mother that have the same name. But the Gemara differentiates, and the Gemara says, Avram Avinu's Amaslai, his mom, Avram's mother, Amaslai. She was Bas. I'll read the Gemara. The Gemara says this: Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Aleph, Amar Aleph, Amar Abchanan, Barava, Amar Rav, Eime de Avram, the mother of Avram, Amaslai, Bas Karnavu. She's Amaslai, the daughter of Karnavu. Eime de Haman, the mother of Haman, Amaslai, Bas Urvise. She's Amaslai, the daughter of Urvisi. Okay, this Urvisi is her mother, Urvisi with an ayin. And Avram's mother, his grandmother is Karnavu, or grandmother or father, I'm not sure. V'simanech, and the Gemara gives a simen. Tamei, tamei, tahar, tahar. What does that mean? The non-kosher one, the Orev, Haman's mother is Amaslai, but she's an Amaslai, the daughter of Orev. Orev is a raven. A raven is a non-kosher bird. So Haman, his grandmother is a raven. What does it produce? This non-kosher bird, it produces a Haman Arasha, a wicked Haman. Avram Avinu's mother, Amaslai, comes from Karnavi, and Rashi says Karnavi means sheep. Karim, I guess fatty sheep. And they're kosher. So Avram's mother, Avram comes from a kosher breed. Avram is from a kosher breed and Haman is from a non-kosher breed. But this is a fascinating Gemara. What's the connection of here? So you have Amaslai, Amaslai. And okay, so they both have the same mother's name, but the Gemara is drawing a connection between the two. It seems like these two are the antithesis one to the other. So the Rebbe's father says exactly that, that Avram and Haman are the total opposites to each other. What Avram comes to accomplish, Haman wants to destroy. And that's why they come from the same source, meaning from the same name, but two opposites. This one is Tameh, and this one is Tahir. The Rebbe's father says, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, the word Oirev, which is Haman's grandmother, Arva Oirev, is exact same gematria as Karnavu. So you see that they're even. They're opposite, but they're even. Karnavu is Avram's grandmother. Oirev is Haman's grandmother. Share the same gematria because they go one against the other. So now let's take a little bit of a deeper look and understand the relationship between the two, between Avram and Haman. And over here, again, this is the place right at the end of Lech Lecha where Avram is born from his mother, from Amaslai. So the idea is as follows. Haman is the antithesis to Avram. Haman's children, which we find also in the Megillah, they hang his children, are the antithesis to Avram's children, primarily to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak, the opposite of Yitzchak are the descendants of Haman, which really, and the opposite of Yitzchak being Yitzchak and his children, which are the Jewish people, and the opposite of Avram himself is Haman. So where do we find, so we have to see if we see a parallel between the two. Well, what's the connection? So the first thing is like this. Avram is the man who believes, who is the one who is the creator of monotheism. He's the one who fights up against the entire pagan world. And he believes in Hashem Echad, and he declares there's only one God and him to serve, and he breaks all the idols. He slams them and he breaks them, and he declares there's only one person to serve, and that is Hashem. And for that, he's even willing to throw himself into the fire. So Avram's inyan is he brings emunah, faith, in one of you. Look at Avram, his biggest accomplishment is he's the one who established emunah in the world, belief in one Hashem. Haman is a man who denies in that. And he claims that they should bow. He's a god as well, similar to Nimrod, right? He claims he's a god and wants everybody to bow down to him. Obviously, it wasn't just a bowing of respect. It was a bowing as a deity, as a god. And that's why Mordechai was not going to bow to him. So he is uprooting, and he's lahashmidu lahariges ayehudim. He can't stand the Jews who do believe in one God. So he wants to, in other words, and imagine, Avraham Avinu's idea of monotheism had already developed in the world by the time of the story of Haman. The Avraham Avinu's program, so to speak, was in the world already close to 1,500 years. And at this point, and through the Jewish people. See, today's days, right, after the world is already a monotheistic world. Kamat, almost the entire world population, believes in a monotheistic faith, whether it's coming to them through Christianity or through Islam, but there is a belief in one God. That's a major accomplishment. When in the days of Haman and the Jewish people, it wasn't yet, most of the world was not yet, the world was still a pagan world. So it was obviously the secret of monotheism and belief in Hashem was contained in the Jewish people. So if Haman is going to wipe out the Jewish people, God is monotheism, the world would fall back to its pagan state. So Haman wants to do that. So Haman is the one who wants to, in a sense, burn Avraham Avinu's book. He wants to fight Avraham Avinu. That's why we find in their life that they did a similar thing. Avraham, in order to teach Emuna, planted a tree. He planted a tree in order to Vayita Eshel, Avraham Bebeir Shava, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kei Loilam. And the tree wasn't something in Avram's life. That tree that Avram planted was a tree which was representing the growth of Emuna in the world. Because under that tree is where Avram would hold his classes. And over there is we would tell people to bench and to thank Hashem. And from there, Yiddishkeit, the belief in one God, spread onto the masses. Haman, who wants to defeat Avram, is also Yasu Eitz. He's also planting a tree. Gavaya Chamishim Amah, 50 Yam. And his was a klipa digger tree. It was a growth, a cancer. It was a growth, a klipa, to contradict Avram Avinu's tree that Avram built. Now, let's take a look at their name. Avraham, the Rebbe's father, again, is brilliant. Avraham, his name ends with an hey and a mem. Well, take a look at Haman. Haman, his name begins with a hey and a mem. So you see, they got something going on over there. Avraham, hey mem. Haman, hey mem. The only difference is that Haman has a nun in the end, a long nun, a longer nun, and Avram doesn't have a long nun. Why does Avram not have the nun? And Haman does have the nun. The nun represents the falling, nefila, falls, a long nun, falling, being dragging things down into klipa, low. But where does Haman get the power to do so? That's because there's a difference in Avram's mem than Haman's mem. Avram's mem is a closed mem. Avraham, it's a closed mem. It's a mem stuma. And Haman's mem is an open mem. We once spoke about this in a class earlier, that the difference between a mem stuma, a closed mem, and an open mem, a shlas mem, and an open mem, is that a regular mem allows for yanika sachitzainim. The opening is a doorway for negative things to be able to get in there to hack. In other words, it's hackable. The mem is hackable. The mem of a closed mem is not hackable. It's firewalled, it's protected, it cannot be hacked. It's well protected. And that's a difference. Avram's mem is a closed mem. There's no yanika sachitzainim from him. That's why there's no nun happening after him. However, in Haman, because he's an open mem, it ends up with a nun. That means that the nun, there is the forces of unholiness deriving the energy from that mem. But upon him, you see a relationship. Hold on just 1 second here. You see some kind of a relationship between the two. Okay. What's the nun? Interesting. What's the nun? The nun is the tree of Haman. See, Haman is battling Mordechai, which is really a descendant of Avram Avinu. Mordechai and Avram are related to each other, right? And here we see, because Avram is similar. You see Mordechai related to Avram because they're both similar. Avram doesn't bow down and risks his life not to bow down to Avodah Zarah, to Nimrod. And Mordechai doesn't bow down, and he's also risking his life. What does Haman do to fight Mordechai? He makes a tree 50 amos tall. That's the nun of Haman. See, hey mem, and where he's contradicting Avram. Now, in the end, Haman was defeated. When we defeated Haman, hear this, when we defeated Haman, it says in the Megillah that finally, after Haman was hung up, was killed, and the day came when Chas v'Shalom, the day when the Jewish people were supposed to be killed on the 13th day of Adar, the king's armies helped the Yidden fight their enemies. And in that battle, they killed out 75,000 people. Enemies of Jews were killed in one day. That's what it says in the Megillah. I'm going to read it from you in Esther, Perek, Tes, Pasuk, Zion. V'shar ha-Yehudim asher b'medinos ha-melech nikalu v'amad al nafsham. The rest of the Jewish people in the king's provinces got up and fought for their lives. And v'harek b'saneim, they killed in their enemies chamisha v'shivim elav, 75,000. Which means Kedusha had power over the forces that want to, emuna, let's put it this way, had power over and victory over those that are anti-emuna. And in what way? In the fact that they killed 75,000 people. Where does this number 75,000 come from? So this too is related to Avram Avinu, because Avram gave that power, because again, he's the root of the Yeshua of Purim, okay? Because he is what Haman is fighting against. So where do you have the number 75,000 by Avram? Well, you don't have 75,000, but you have the number 75 emphasized by Avram right at this junction. Because what did we tell you, what did you say? Avram was told now to go out from Haran. And when he's told to go out from Haran, he's told to do that. The Pasuk says that Avram was 75 years old. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Avram ben chamesh v'shivim shana b'tzeisa mecharan. Avram is 75 years old when he's going out from Haran. So this chus of Avram's mitzvah that he did when he was 75 years old, and that he marched, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, he left his house, and he went, you know, serving Hashem, not knowing where he's going, but it completely gave himself over to Hashem's wish, that empowered his children to kill 75,000 of the enemy. So now, so 75, but let's see, is there a deeper connection about what's happening? Let's get into the panemius of what's going on over here. What's really taking place in Avram's departure from Haran, which is the power of to kill out the 75,000 of Haman's guys. And the idea over here is a very fascinating idea. The concept of Haran, in Chassidus we speak about it all the time. Haran means anger. Haran, it says, means Haran represents tzimtzum, contraction, and what we call katnos hamoichin, real narrowness, the inyan of mitzarim, meitzar, constrictions. The reason why there is such darkness in this world, and this world is so susceptible to corruption, is because there's no gilui elokus in the world. The Eibishter created this world to be a tachtoin, to be a lowly being, a lowly creation. By doing what? Through a whole series of endless tzimtzumim, as we learn in Chassidus, through a series of endless tzimtzumim contractions, it contracts and contracts and contracts his energy until it's become so, so hidden and so concealed, it creates a creation, the physical creation, in which you don't see God, in which you can end up with a world full of pagan worship, right? Everything is a god. Every force of nature is a god instead of believing in Hashem. So it's the tzimtzumim and the contractions that are allowing for the whole klipa diga world that we have comes because Hashem is concealed and hidden in nature. And he makes the world look like it's just a natural thing. Now, comes out that the tzimtzumim is the root of all negativity. What's the avoid of Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu is avoid. What's the avoid of Yidden? That we should open up this narrowness. We should fight this narrowness. We should cause Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's Mitzrayim, there's contraction, there's limitation. And our avoyde is to bring down Lamailam and Ateva Biteva. That is to reveal how Hashem, that it transcends nature, is really running nature. It's to be Megal Elokus, that really nature too, Havaya Hu Elohim. That Elohim, which is all the forces of constriction, the word Elohim is Gematria HaTeva. It's the name of our God, it's the name of Hashem that constricts and hides and blocks Gilui Elokus. That's the whole idea of Tzimtzum. Elohim is all about restricting. Our Avoida is to be Megala that Havaya Hu Elohim. through Torah and mitzvahs, which are from beyond Elohim, it's higher than Elohim. Torah and mitzvahs are rooted in Shem Havaya, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So our avoda is to be Megala Havaya in Elohim, and thereby come out of Mitzrayim. Where do Jews go? Let's think about it. Our journey was, when we were Yitzis Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim and we went to Eretz Yisrael. And what is Eretz Yisrael called? Eretz Toiva Urechava. Eretz Yisrael is a broad and wide land. So that is an exact antithesis to Mitzrayim, which means Meitzar. So Mitzrayim is a world that's why we also know Mitzrayim was a place where people lived in such a strong environment that gave off a very strong feeling that the world, Olam Kimen Hagay Noyeg, that the world conducts itself by natural means. Because Mitzrayim doesn't need rain. The Rebbe speaks about it all the time. Mitzrayim is a place that doesn't need rain. A person never has to raise his head up, his eyes up to something higher and say, please Hashem, give me rain for my fields. The Nilus would come. It was part of a natural cycle. And you wait every year like you're waiting for the monsoon. You're waiting for the water to rise. And it just happens all the time. You never have to think of something beyond. So that's Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael is a land where Lamatara Shamayim, you're always lifting your eyes up to Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is, and that's why it's called Rechava. There's no tzimtzumim of the name of Elohim. You're recognizing a higher power that's beyond Elohim. Okay? So now watch this. Haran is Gematria. Haran is Gematria. The same Gematria is Gematria. Hold on 1 second. Haran is Gematria 258. Haran. Gematria 258, Haran, yeah? Reish is 200, Nun is 50, and Ches is 8, 258. What's the significance of Haran being 258? Because Haran, it's the Gematria of three, I'm sorry, it's going to be a little Gematria today, and a little Kabbalistic in Yanam, but it's really, really, really amazing things. Haran is Gematria 258, which is the same, which equals three times Elohim. Elohim is Gematria 86. Same gematria as Hateva. 3 times 86 is 258. So Haran is a product that comes from the intensification of Elohim 3 times. Take the name Elohim, which is contraction, hiding, and make 3 tzimtzumim. Why 3 times? Because the Alter Rebbe says that there are 3 main tzimtzumim. 1 tzimtzum for Hashem's light to come into Olam Habriya, which is one world, the world of creation. The next tzimtzum in Olam Ayatzira, and the next tzimtzum is Olam Asiya, 3 times Elohim, which is the foundation of Hashem being hidden and in the Levush of Teva. So Elohim 3 times Gematria HaTeva is Gematria Haran. So when you're living in a Haronian world, what's your awareness? Only of Teva, only of the world of the right? And then you have all these different gods, as we spoke, that's the pagan world. What's Avram Avinu, the Ebrish, to tell him, Lech lecha me'artzcha, get out of Haran? Means get out of that narrowness. Now, it's interesting. Chassidus, it says, Haran is also the same gematria as Garoin. Garoin means the neck, the throat. Garoin is Gimel Reish Vav Nun. It's actually one more. It's the gematria of 259, but we know that you can always be, when a gematria is, you can be off with one for whatever reason, you go with the kaidel. So Garin, let's think about it. What is the Garin in a person? The Garin in a person is their neck. And what is the neck? The neck is a narrow narrowness. It's a narrowness. If there's ever a place that's called Mitzrayim, in Chassidus we always learn, it's the Meitzar HaGarin. What does the Garin do? It's a narrow passage between the brain and the rest of the body. So what does it represent in our Yiddishkeit, in our experience? Experience it represents is when a person has Hashem's awareness in his head, but it doesn't translate into his behavior because there's a break between a person's, there's a disconnect between the mind and practical behavior. So that is going out of Haran, which means going out of Garin, means that your awareness of Hashem is able to pass, you broaden the Haran, the narrowness, you make a broadness, you open it up, so there can be a connection from what you know in your head into your actions. And that's what the Eibishter was telling Avram Avinu. Until now you knew me, but now you have to practically, in Avodah B'Poel Mamish, bring what you know in your head down into your activities and into your actions, and project that through your behavior into the world, to bring godliness in the world. Okay? So this is the idea of Avram going out of Haran. Again, fighting the Garoin, fighting the three times Elohim, by doing what? By bringing godliness down that's higher than the name of Elohim down into the world. And that is the relationship of Avram being 75 years old. What is the significance of the number of 75? The number of 75 is leaving Moichen de Katnos, leaving the Garoin, leaving that narrowness, and introducing broadness. That's the idea, introducing broadness. In other words, making a yichud and a chibur, getting that which is beyond the tzimtzum to enter into where the tzimtzum was, and adding light in this pit, in this narrow place, you have to shine light. That is the idea of yichud, havaya, and Elohim. Bringing havaya into the place where there was tzimtzum, bring havaya into it. Now watch this. Havaya, if you're doing a yichud of havaya and Elohim, so that's the number 75. Why is the number 75 the yichud of havaya and Elohim? So we said, so here's a concept from the Arizal, also in Parshas Lech Lecha. And that is, we said before, there's three Elohims. And in order to broaden the name of Elohim, there shouldn't be such darkness in the world. In the order that there shouldn't be such darkness in the world, you have to unify Havaya and Elohim to bring the two together, right? So how does that happen? You need three times Havaya to be inserted into the three times Elohim. Elohim is the narrowness. You want to stretch it with the Gilui of Shem Havaya. So it's not a gematria, but it's similar to a gematria. But the way it works is as follows. We're going to take the name Havaya and make the Miloi Havavaya. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, you have four letters, okay? But now we're going to take Yud, Vav, Dalet, because we're going to do the Miloi. The Miloi are the letters that are hidden. Yud is a Yud, Vav, Dalet, Yud. Hey is Hey Aleph. Vav is Vav, Aleph, Vav. And Hey is Hey Aleph again. We're not doing gematria now. What we're going to do is we're going to count how many letters there are. In Yud Kei Vav Kei, there are four letters, but if you add the Miloi letters, you end up with 10 letters. The Miloi of Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yud is three letters, the Vav also has three is six, and the two Heys only have two letters, Hey Aleph, that's 10. Okay, so you have 10 letters in Yud Kei Vav Kei, but you want to make three times Yud Kei Vav Kei. So 10 times, because the three Yud Kei Vav Keis to counter the three name of Elohim. So let's do 3 times 10. Is how much? 3 times 10 is 30. Okay? So you have... Hold on just 1 second. Hello? 1 second. Yeah, okay. So 3 times 10 is 30. Now let's take the name Elohim and make the Miloi of Elohim. How many letters do we have in Elohim? Aleph has three letters. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Okay. Aleph is three letters. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's do it over here. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Lamed is another three letters. Lamed. Lamed, Mem, Dalet. Okay, so that's six. Hey and Aleph is two. That's eight. Yud is three. That's 11. And Mem is another two, 13. Elohim is made up of 13 letters. Three times Elohim is 13 times three is 39. So Havaya is 30, and Elohim, if you count the letters, is 39. So now, 39 plus 30, 39 plus 30 equals 69. Okay, follow, bear with me. You're connecting Havaya and Elohim. You're connecting Havaya and Elohim, so you have 39 plus 30 is 69, but you're not done with it yet. Then the Arizal says, take the three names themselves, not the letters, the names themselves. The three Havayas is three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it's another three. Three times Elohim. In other words, count the whole Shem. That's why we have to add another six. 69 plus six, because you count also. Guess what you get? 75. So 75 is the Chibur of all the letters together of three times Havaya and three times Elohim when you're doing the Miloi. and that's the age of 75. It's the attachment of the beyond nature in nature, and that's what the Jewish people are all about. Our avodah is that in Charan, in a world of Elo, what's Charan? Charan is three times Elohim itself, which is the epitome of the natural. To bring in the beyond natural into the natural, and we do that when we're 75, v'tzeisoy mecharon, we go out of the charon, out of the constriction. Now watch the amazing thing. What does Haman want to do? Haman wants to keep Shem Havaya away. He wants to, as he said earlier, he's fighting Amunah. He wants to block the transcendental from coming into the world. He wants the world to be a godless world. He wants to keep the Elohim. And what victory over Haman was what? That we managed to reveal within nature beyond nature. And what's the whole story of Purim? The whole story of Purim is that it was dafke b'toich ha-helem the hester from nature, from Teva. We megala how there's Shem Havaya really there in the Megillah. Even though Hashem's name is not there, he's really there in every pasuk. Now watch the amazing thing. Now let's take the name Havaya, which is Gematria 20. Now we're going to do Gematria. See, before we only counted letters, but now we're going to do Gematria. Three times Havaya. Three times Havaya is 26. Three times 26 is Gematria 78. Now we're going to connect that to the name of Elohim. Three times Elohim, the three Tzimtzumim that create nature, is Elohim is 86. Three times 86 is 258, like we said earlier. Charan. Now we're going to make 78 plus 258. 78 plus, what is that? Let's understand. 78 is three times Havaya. 258 is three times Elohim. Let's connect the two. Gematria 336, the exact Gematria of Purim. Because what is Purim? Purim is the victory of and the completion of Avram over Haman. Purim is this yichud of in Elohim, in the concealments and the constrictions of the name Elohim. You megala the three times Havaya. You go out of the Charan that he wanted to do. This is really, really amazing. Now, and here's the final piece of the puzzle, and with this we'll leave it off. Esther, the Medrash Rabba says, and now we'll understand something amazing. The Medrash says that in the merit of Avram Avinu going out when he was 75 years old from his father's house, it's a Medrash, it's in Bereshis Rabba, it says, Hashem says to Vahi Oymen Asadasa, he Esther, Rebrachya B'Shem, Rabbanon de Taman Omer, Rabbi Rachya says in the name of the Rabbanon, Amana Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Ata Yotzasa Mebeis Avicha, you went out from your father's house, Ben Shivim V'chamishim Shana, when you're 75 years old, Chayecha, I swear to you, Ani Goyel, Av Goyel, Shani Mamed Mimach, Yeh Ben Shivim V'chamishim Shana, that the one, the Redeemer, who is going to, I'm getting up, that I'm going to bring from your children is also going to be 75 years old. And that is Hadassah. Esther, he Hadassah. No one, I guess most people don't know this. Esther was 75 years old when she went to Achashverosh. But we think Esther as a young girl. She was 75 years old when she was taken there. And that is why the exact gematria of Hadassah. Now Hadassah's gematria, not 75. Hadassah's gematria, 74, but it says, but that was the year. See, she's called Hadassah when she goes out of, in other words, in the merit of Avram, who went out of Haran when 75, Hadassah leaves Mordechai's house when she's 74 years old, Gematria Hadassah. But then it says it took a year in the palace when they put on them, on the women, all the perfumes and all that. They prepared themselves to come see the king. It took a year. It says Shisha Hadashim. So another year is Ayin Hei. So Esther is 75. What's the idea of Esther? The idea of Esther is, her name is Hester, concealment, but to show that Anoichi Aster, that even in the concealment of Shem Elohim, Anoichi Hashem is really there. And Hashem is hidden in that story. And that's Esther, and the merit of Avram, who left Haran when he was 75 years old. So here you have the whole thing. You see, then, and in that merit, we defeated Haman's people, which was 75,000. Now, to conclude with all of this, I said earlier that Haman is the antithesis to Avram. His children are the antithesis to, are the opposite of Yitzchak. Because it says, the Gemara says, how many children did Haman have? We know of 10. But the Pasuk says, V'roiv Banav, and his many sons. Chazal say, how many are Roiv Banav? Rama Bar Abba says, 208. 208 children he really had. The gematria of Virav. Rav, the word Virav is missing a vav. So we read it Rav. He has 200 Virav.